And I thought I'd talk to you about where will you go in the last days. I want you to look in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to look in verse number 9. There's an interesting little group of words here that I want to show you. In verse number 9, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus until Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. What an odd little portion as Paul ends the letter. Now, Paul has just said in chapter number 4, he said, my life is almost over. This thing's just about done. In just a few short hours, I will see the end of my days. He says, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've done everything. Now, I want to let you know, Demas forsook me. I sent Cretans over to Galatia. I want to let you know that Luke is here with me. Titus I sent to Dalmatia. Tychicus I sent him to Ephesus. Now, beloved, what would you think if on somebody's deathbed, if they were dying and they looked at you and they said, boy, God sure has been good to me. I've done everything in my power to make sure that I've honored God. By the way, yeah, Aunt Susie's over in Memphis. I sent Uncle Clarence back to Knoxville. I want to let you know, Cousin Melrose, he went down to Chattanooga. You would look at that person and say one of two things. Either A, they're losing it, or B, they are giving me something special as to why those people have gone to where they're going. Brothers and sisters, if there is one thing that you learn from my time with you as your pastor, I want you to know this. Every word in that Bible is the word of the living God. It was nothing in that Bible put there because of an accident or an oops or an oh, I didn't mean for that to go there. If God put it in there, it was meant to be there for a reason. So whenever you take that in one hand and then in the other hand, you take that the book of 2 Timothy is that last day's letter. You begin saying, okay, you've got last days on one hand, and then you got all these people going in all these different directions on the other hand. It's as if Paul is wanting to lay down something for you and I, asking, where are you going to go in the last days? What direction are you going to walk in the last day? If I've learned anything in my 38 years of living, it is this. Nothing that is done on accident. And anything you want done, you've got to do it on purpose. You don't just lose weight on accident. You don't just build buildings on accident. You don't just get something to go on accident. You do not do anything on accident. Everything that is done on purpose. Therefore, if you and I are going to have the right attitude and go the right way, we're going to have to know what we're doing, why we're doing it, and the direction that we are going to walk in. So where will you go? There are five people mentioned there, and there's five different places you and I can go. Number one, the first place that you can go is you can abandon for Thessalonica. Watch what it says in verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Now, fellas, leave that verse up. Watch this. There's three words there that stick out. Number one, it says, Demas hath forsaken. Why did he forsake? Because he loved. Ultimately, he departed. You see, in that line of words, you see how a person walks away from the things of God. They first of all forsake. Inside of their heart, there is this abandoning. Listen to me. Long before a body leaves, a heart is already gone. Long before a human leaves, their mind is already in another direction. Nobody in your life ever just walks out for no reason. They have got something that has pulled their heart away, and you will always be in love with something. You will always have affection for something. Your heart will be towards something. And the Bible says, Demas used to be with me. Demas used to love me. Demas used to be a part of what I was. But something happened, and there was something in Thessalonica. And he finally said, you know what? I have forsaken. I don't want to have those things in my life. Paul, I'm not interested in that. My love is towards something else. And he departed unto Thessalonica. It is an interesting thing to me, the people that used to be in the family and household of faith, but now they are no longer in that family and household of faith. And anybody I've ever seen in the Church of Jesus Christ that used to be a part, that is no longer a part, rarely are they just there one day singing, shouting, praising, worshiping, and just gone. You see this slow fade with people whenever they're getting out of the thing. Am I the only one that's ever seen that? You and I, if you've been in church any amount of time, they used to be on the front row of the choir. Next thing you know, they're on the second row of the choir. Used to be on the second row of the choir. Next thing you know, they're not singing on Sunday night. Next thing you know, they're kindly moving back toward the back. And before you know it, they've gone from the choir, and then they're moving out. That's why people in the back row back here, Chris, y'all make me nervous. I don't know. You could be one step away from just walking out. Here is my whole point, all jokes aside. People, oftentimes, they get something in their heart that pulls them. And brothers and sisters, in this last day, you're going to have to make the choice if you're going to stay with God or if you're going to abandon. What made Demas forsake? It wasn't the prison. When Paul writes 2 Timothy, he is in prison, but Demas had been with Paul in two other times, in two other letters. In the book of Philemon, Demas was with him and Paul was in prison. And in the book of Colossians, Paul was with him. Or Demas was, and Paul was in prison. It wasn't the prison. Do you know what the name Demas literally means? It means governor of the people, ruler of the people. I'm going to tell you what got in Demas's crawl. He did not agree with the way things were going. He wanted his own Paul, I believe that if we really love God, we ain't gonna be in no prison. I'm tired of living this life. If you take the word Demas and start to rip it apart, do you know that the word Demas is the shortened form of the Greek word Demetrius? Do you know what the word Demetrius means in the Greek? It means belonging to Cyrus. Do you know what Cyrus is? C-E-R-E-S. Not Sirius, not the radio, Cyrus. The word Cyrus was the Roman goddess of crops and agriculture. Do you know what the Romans believed about Cyrus? That she invented corn. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. I promise I'm going somewhere. Jesus makes a statement in John chapter 12, verse 24, 25, and 26. Here is what he says. He says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die. He said, no man that loves himself more than me. He likens our life to a piece of corn. And brothers and sisters, the only people that have ever walked away from God or the things of God are people who wanted it their way and were unwilling to die to self. It ain't hard to die to your family. It's not hard to die to your kids. It's not hard to die to your job. But dying to self is a difficult thing. What does that mean? It means being okay not having your way and your will and your whims and your desires and your dreams. Now, I'm not talking about sitting in a church pew and letting the preacher have every... No. We're talking about where you live at your house, because every one of us are the same at the end of the day. We all have desires. We all have ideas. We all have dreams. We all have mentalities. We all have hopes and aspirations. But Jesus looks at each one of us, and he says to you and I, he says, are you willing and okay if none of those things come to pass? What if none of your dreams come to pass? Are you okay? Brothers and sisters, the hardest question to answer is that one. Lord, I've got all these ideas, but if none of them happen, I'm perfectly fine with it. Because ultimately, where the enemy pulls your heart away is when he says, you know you could do better. You know you could accomplish more. You know it could, if you would just take that little corn and plant it somewhere. And brothers and sisters, how many people have been pulled aside thinking that the grass was greener on the other side of the fence? And I'm not talking about in sinful matters. I'm talking about in things that are not necessarily wicked. How many preachers have been pulled away from the things of God and the church of God and the calling of God on their life because they thought they could do this over there? Oh, there was another opportunity that opened up over there. There was another church that opened up over there. There was another this that opened up over there. I'm telling you, I have seen men and women do. Listen, the ways of God are not the ways of man. Just because somebody pastors 20 or 30 people, that does not mean that they're not a good pastor. That does not mean they're not a good. In fact, some of the most faithful, God-fearing men I know of are young men and older men that preach to the same 30 people every single week, knowing they'll never be on television, knowing they'll never be seen, knowing that nobody will ever pay attention, but they're willing to die to self. Brothers and sisters, my question to you in the last days, will you begin the process of abandoning toward Thessalonica? All right, let's look at that word Thessalonica. Y'all, ain't no need for me to come up here and camp meet. Preach, let me just talk to you right quick, okay? Do you know what that word Thessalonica means? Circle the word Thessalonica. The word Thessalonica, it comes from a Greek word. Do you see the word at the end, Nike? It's actually the Greek word Nike, like the tennis shoe. Do you know what the word Nike means in Greek? It means victory. That's what the term Nike means. So whenever you see that word Thessalonica, what the name Thessalonica literally means, it means the victory of natural order. You see, in Thessalonica, they were famous for their education. And in that education system, in the Roman province of Thessalonica, what they were famous for is figuring stuff out. Brothers and sisters, the problem with natural reasoning, it will never line up with faith. God's ways will never make sense to you, and they'll never make sense to me. And if you and I don't get to the place where we are okay not understanding the ways of God, not understanding the plan of God, that will be the very fabric by which God pulls. Brothers and sisters, can I say something? Life would be easy and easy to walk with God if everything was wonderful. Am I right about it? If it was all wonderful, then it wouldn't be hard to walk with God. If you had all the money you wanted and you had all the houses you wanted and you had all the stuff you wanted, it wouldn't be hard to walk with God. If you woke up every day feeling like $1 million and you went to bed every night able to sleep 9.5 hours and just feel like you've been asleep for 3 days, nothing would be wrong. But that's not the world that you and I live in. We live in a world of sickness. We live in a world of uncertainty. We live in a world of insufficiency. We live in a world where things are bad and people struggle, and you and I get to this place where how in the world can that line up with I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? And the reasoning in our head, if we're not careful, it will cause us to forsake and abandon toward Thessalonica. Where will you go in the last days? Will you abandon toward Thessalonica? But he says, number two, he says, I didn't just lose Demas. He said, but I sent Cretans to Galatia. So you're either going to abandon toward Thessalonica, or you're going to advance toward Galatia. Can I preach to old people right quick? How many people in this house are, and I'm not saying you're old, I just want to kind of get a gauge of what I'm looking. How many of y'all are older than 60? 60 and up. I want to see it. Just lift them up high. Okay, I'm going to talk to y'all right quick. In your Bible, circle the word Cretans. Do you know what the word Cretans means in the Greek? It means increasing and growing. I looked up that name Cretans, and you know how many times that name Cretans appears in the Bible? One. But do you know what church history teaches about Cretans, the man? In Luke chapter number 10, Jesus sends out 72 preachers. You remember Luke chapter 10? He sends out 72 to preach the gospel two by two. Church history teaches that Cretans was one of those men. Time out. I'm going somewhere. Watch this. Jesus, Luke chapter number 10, that's 33 A.D. When Paul says that he sent Cretans to Galatia, 2 Timothy 4, that's 66 A.D. That is over 30 years of faithful work in the household of God. And you know what he was doing? He was increasing and growing. He just kept on getting bigger and bigger. Can I preach at the old people for just a second? Y'all not get mad at me. Okay, old people, for whatever reason, they really like me, and I don't know what it is. I think it's just because I'm an old man down deep inside of my soul. There is a worldly mindset that has crept into the church. The worldly mindset says this: the older sit down while the younger lead. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the younger sit down while the older lead. But yet too many times in our churches, when somebody reaches a certain age, they say, you know what? I've reached my time limit. I'm going to let somebody else serve. I've reached my service. I can't teach anymore. I don't really have what I used to have. I don't really understand the things that I used to understand. I can't really find. I'm not what I used to be. And so I'm just going to kindly back. Brothers and sisters, old Cretans didn't say that. He said, Paul, you've got a church up there in Galatia, and I know you're not able to go to that church up in Galatia. I know you're in prison right now, but here's what I'm going to do, big boy. I'm not going to just write a letter. Honey, I'm going to get on a boat, and I'm going to make my way down to Galatia, and if you're not able to do it, I may be an old man, but I'm going to go, and I'm going to do everything I can, because I want to keep growing. The older I get, I want to keep increasing. The older I get, there are no retiring ages in the army of God. There are no time to lay down your sword in the army of God. You say, I am not what I used to be. Nobody is what they used to be. But you can still do something. I was thinking about that little old couple. They've been married about 65 years and looked over at his wife one day, and his wife looked over at him and she said, You don't treat me like you used to treat me. He said, well, what do you mean? She said, you used to sit closer to me. So he slid over on the couch. She said, you used to put your arm around me. He threw his arm around her. She said, you used to whisper sweet nothings in my ear. So he went into her and said, I love you, baby doll. She said, you used to nibble on my ear. He got up, started walking away. She said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get my teeth. He said, I ain't what I used to be. Brothers and sisters, let me help you with something. None of us are what we used to be. And I know some of the gray-haired saints in the house of God used to do a whole lot. And I know you can't do what you, but you can do something. It's not a time to retire in the things of God. It's not time for you. Listen, there are people in this church that have got gray hair, and no, they can't get and go work a vacation Bible school and run around with 500 kids. But you know what you can do? You can put a little cookie in a little thing and give them a little Kool-Aid. You may not be able to run around with them and watch them bounce off walls, but but you can get in a room somewhere and sit down and say, Lord, I'm going to pray while those teachers, you may not be able to run up in this choir, but every single service you can sit there and lift your hands up high and say, I'm going to be out here and be a blessing. You may not be able to give what you used to be able to give, but you can do something. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to be a gray-haired saint that just sits there all dried up and bitter. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost power that when I get bit by a mosquito, he runs away going, there's power in the blood of Jesus. Honey, I want to be so full of Holy Ghost anointing. The older I get, I want to keep increasing and growing. Amen. Oh, beloved saints, can I help you with something? What are you doing now? Because if you're doing less now than you ever have done, you are wasting the best life in your years. I didn't say the best years of your life, because right now is the time where God has actually taught you something. And you can anybody ever wondered why people in churches act so crazy? Maybe it's because the old people, they won't listen. That never stopped my mama. I'm going to tell you something. We need a revival of senior citizens with a backbone and a burden to pray. You need to advance. You say, Brother Tyler, what can I do? Do something. Every other week, somebody's asking for a volunteer. You're telling me in a church of almost 1,000 people coming every Sunday that we have to search for volunteers? Stay right there. You're telling me that Carrie and Rachel and Troy and these deacons, they've got to search? Somebody's not following God. And it may be some of the senior citizens who have believed the lie of New Ageism and said, I'm old. I can't do anything. That's a lie. Christian said, I may be an old man, but I'm going to Galatia. And I'm going to preach. Where will you go in the last days? You're either going to abandon or you're going to advance. But then number three, he says, I got to talk to you about Titus. And so the third person and the third place you can go is you can agonize in Dalmatia. Titus was one of the proteges of the Apostle Paul. He said, now, Titus, listen, honey. He said, there's this little place called Dalmatia. You know, if you go to try to find it on an old map, people aren't even sure where it was. We don't have it written out. A lot of people believe it's modern-day Croatia is where they believe, on the eastern side of Italy. But Dalmatia is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. You know what that means? There probably wasn't a real big group of Christians there. Probably wasn't a huge church to go pastor somewhere. Probably just a few Christians that Paul had a real burden for. He said, who will go to the few? Who will go to the few? Titus said, I will. Do you know what Galatia or Dalmatia means in the Greek? It literally means the land of sheep. Titus said, you know what? I got the heart of a shepherd. And if there's just a few, I'll go to the few. We live in a day where if it can't be pictured and if it can't be tweeted and if it can't be Snapchatted and if it can't be put on TikTok and if it can't be captured, nobody wants to do it. Everybody wants a big platform. Everybody wants the recognition. That's what we have been taught is importance. What about those group of people like Titus that said, I'm going to go if it's just a couple? 1823, a man named Edward Kimball was born. Edward Kimball was saved as a young man, and he began to teach, and one day he had a Sunday school class. He was teaching teen boys in Sunday school. Sunday school was a new thing that had just come around. And Edward Kimball was teaching, and these boys came in, and one boy stuck out to him. He didn't have a Bible, and so they grabbed a Bible, and Edward Kimball told him, he said, turn to the book of John. That boy didn't know where John was, didn't know how to read. Couldn't figure out the words, and so Kimball took his Bible, opened it to John, and slid it to the boy, hoping not to embarrass him. Kimball took an interest in that boy and started praying for that boy. And a year later, Kimball went and visited that 18-year-old boy at his place of business, the Holton Shoe Store. He walked into the Holton Shoe Store and he looked at that boy and he said, "Dwight, if you were to die today, do you know you'd go to heaven?" Dwight looked at him and said, "I do not." He said, "Wouldn't you like to know?" And in that shoe store, Edward Kimball led this boy named Dwight to the Lord. You say, why does that story stick out? Because you and I don't know him as Dwight. We know him as D.L. Moody. And brothers and sisters, had it not been for one Sunday school teacher that had a burden for a little, I feel God all over me right now. He said, "I have a burden. I may not be in the limelight." Brothers and sisters, you may never stand in the grand stage, but what if God allows you to be the one that wins the next Billy Graham? Where is that teacher that says, "I'm going to agonize in that Dalmatia. I'm going to agonize in that class. I'm going to agonize with those kids. I'm going to agonize in that ministry. It may not be big. It may not be lofty, but I'm not giving up. I've got a heart. I've got a burden. I've got a love. Oh God, in these last days, I'll go and agonize if it's just a couple, if it's just a few." Well, I'm going to tell you, I can remember Troy. I was 18 years old. I'd been called to preach about 4 weeks. I had so much zeal and no knowledge. And that is a dangerous thing for a preacher with a whole lot of zeal and zero knowledge. I had the opportunity to go preach. And so I got my first opportunity to go preach outside of my little church. One of the men in the church, he had a prison ministry, and he didn't have a prison. He had a prison ministry. Bad place to swallow your spit right there. He had a prison ministry. And he went to this prison ministry. He told me, he said, "Tyler," he said, "I got an opening on the third Thursday night of every month." He said, "If you'll come, we'll preach to them, we'll feed them, and then you can go home." Sure. I went in there. I put on my very own 3-piece suit. Stacy Adams, the legs on them were that wide. I walked into that prison. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I went in there. Here I am, McLeansville, North Carolina. I am as out of place as an 18-and-a-half-year-old kid. I'm standing there. They're up there clapping. They're up there shooping. They're up there doo-wopping. They're up there singing everything they got. Man, I'm just standing there. I am scared to. I don't understand what they're saying. I don't understand the way they're singing. We did 4 chords. "Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood." And son, they're up there just, ho! And I'm thinking, well, I got no rhythm right now doing it. And I mean, I'm thinking, oh God, get me out of here. I got in my car that night and I thought, I ain't going back. Nobody in that prison cares what I got to say, and nobody. That in there ain't going to get me not one preaching engagement. Who in the world's going to hear about Tyler Galdon, the prison preacher? I was young, and God got to dealing with me over that thing. He said, "Until you're willing to preach to the bound, you'll never preach to anybody else." Man, God got to dealing with me. I went and got me a black 3-piece Stacy Adams suit. Son, I had that thing tailored. I mean, listen, I look like MC Hammer because I didn't know you had to tailor the whole thing. I just got mama to tie the bottoms up, and it just parachuted out on me. I had my 3-piece suit on. I went in there. I got that Bible. I had a burgundy Scofield Bible. I laid that Scofield Bible open. I threw that thing open, Terry. I said, "Turn in your Bibles this evening. Go to the book of John 3. 3:16. And the I found out them guys, the more you in, they got with you. So I said, turn to John 3:16. Son, I got into that. I said, for God so loved. And before I knew it, somebody had kicked up on that Yamaha organ. I went, zong, zong. I just kept on going. And before I knew it, I got into that thing. And before I knew it, people were getting saved in that little prison. And this is what I found out. If you will preach to the five as if they're 5,000, one day God will let you preach to the 5,000. But no longer am I looking for the crowd. I'm looking for the cross, because it's on that cross where you learn how to agonize and go to Dalmatia in the last days. Are you willing to go to the small? Are you willing to treat those people in your class as if they are the only crowd God cares about? But number four, and I want to help somebody right here. After you learn how to agonize in Dalmatia, number four, you'll learn how to assure in the prison. Watch what he says in verse number 11. Only Luke is with me. Do you know what the word Luke means in the Greek? The word Luke, it literally means light bearer. Somebody that brings the light. Time out. Where's Paul when he writes this letter? In a dark Roman Mamertine prison. He's in a hole in a cave with no light. The only light he got every day was when Luke walked in. Can I tell you something? I don't understand mean, cold, bitter, rank preachers. I don't understand mean, cold-hearted Christians. I do not understand somebody that hates waking up in the morning and can't wait to go to bed and then mad because I can't sleep. I want to have so much joy in my heart that when you squeeze my head, love and joy and happiness flows out of my entire being. I don't know when somebody's in darkness. I don't know when somebody's battling. I don't know when somebody's struggling. So I want to be that light in their life. I want to be that. I don't want to be the kind of preacher when you come to, can I just stop and take me a time out right here? I don't want to be the kind of preacher and have the kind of church where people are worried about coming to church. They're worried, what are we going to get into this week? Has he going to beat us over the head this week? What are they going to knock us out with? I want people to come into the house of God and see the Lord Jesus lifted up high and above all and walk out so encouraged and so filled with the love of Jesus Christ, and they're never the same. And when they go out, they're able to be light in a dark. I want to be that kind of light. So will y'all just let me take about 45 seconds and encourage a couple of people? If you're a deacon, just raise your hand at me. I want to see all the deacons. Raise your hand at me, deacons. Just wait. Can I say something to you fellas? Y'all been a blessing to me. Y'all have encouraged me. I know y'all have walked through hell backwards the last several months, weeks, and years, but I want to tell you something. You've been an encouragement to me. You have been a blessing to me. You have helped my family. I don't dread going into a deacon's meeting. I don't dread coming to the house of God. I want to say, fellas, I love you. I appreciate you, and you're doing a good job. If you don't like the deacons, the doors are all swinging both ways, and you just help yourself. I want to see all the Sunday school teachers. If you're an assistant or a teacher, just wave your hand at me. Can I tell y'all thank you? Thank you for going in there. Thank you for spending your Thursday, Friday, Saturday studying. Thank you for making sure that you've got a lesson prepared. Thank you for loving on my little children. Thank you for being encouragement to my teenage son. I want to thank you for my son wanting to come to church, Brandon. I want to say thank you for making Wednesday night something that my boy looks forward to. I want to say thank you, Rachel, for making Awanas and the Sunday morning program something my little girl enjoys. Troy, I want to say thank you for making sure that choir is red, white hot, ready to lay the devil out. I want to say thank you to the guys that work in the back on the cameras and on the live stream and on the sound system. I want to thank you to Eugene and the ushers that make sure the building is opened up and everybody knows where to. I want to say thank you to the security guys that make sure that everybody is safe. I know that nothing ever goes according to plan, but
But that's what makes it so wonderful to know that it's out of our control and it's still good. I want to say thank you to the musicians. Every single week, you've got something that encourages us. I don't know where Nick is at, but Nick, I want to say I love you. I never thought I'd be in a place where the man that helped write Beulah Land would be right. I want to say I love you. And I know this is a world that doesn't appreciate old-fashioned Holy Ghost music, but I appreciate old-fashioned Holy Ghost music. I want to say thank you, boys, for playing them guitars and them organs and them drums. I want to say blessed to this church. I want to say thank you for being an encouragement. I want to say thank you for helping our family. Thank you for making the move to Tennessee worth coming to. Thank you for not fussing. Thank you for not fighting. Great God, I want to be a light bearer in a dark world when people come to the house of God. In the last days, there's going to be so much dark. You know, I hate an office. I hate coming to the office. I hated coming to a church office. I'm here every day at 7:30. Every day. I can't wait to wake up. I can't wait to come into the church. I can't wait for Dave and Troy and Chris and Tammy and Carolyn, Patricia and Chad and who else did I forget? Who? Where's Sherry at? I don't care about Laura. Where's Sherry at? Okay, she's up here. Brandon, there's Brandon. You barely come, though. I don't even know when you're going to be here and when you're not. That's not true. Y'all have been a blessing. You've been a blessing. Y'all have been a blessing. Brothers and sisters, in the last days, I want to make sure that as we're moved forward, that we're assuring one another it's going to be okay. Because at the end of the day, he said, only Luke's with me. I want to talk to the new people. Can I just keep on? I got to drive. I promise you, I'll be up a lot later than y'all going to be up tonight. I want to talk to those of you that are new and you visit in the church. And some of you just joined and you don't really know about this whole church thing. This place is a little unstable with the people. They're a little crazy, but they love you. And listen, I ain't putting up with no drama mama in church. I didn't come to church to go to high school. This is a place where people can come and worship. And if you're looking for a real old-fashioned place that loves God, it ain't afraid to reach people and is not going to beat you over the head every time you come in the house of God, but it's going to encourage you, you done found you the right place. Beloved, I want to be assuring. I want to be that guy that helps people. I don't care what they lay. They'll label you liberal. They'll label you all the. I could not absolutely care two shakes of a lamb's tail what anybody thinks about me. I'm going to be me. I'm going to walk my path. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I don't really care if they out there like it because I care about you. I want to be assuring in prison. I got to go. I got one more. Can I give you one more? He says, only Luke is with me. But then in verse number 12, he says, Tychicus, I've left him in Ephesus. Do you know what the word Tychicus means? I'm done. I promise you, I'm done. I got hung up on that one, but it felt good. Do you know what Tychicus means? It means to hit the target with a javelin. If you're going to hit a bullseye with a javelin, you got to be focused. You know what Tychicus was? He knew what he'd been called to do, and he was going to do it. Boy, I really used to love baseball. Back before they got into all this wokeism and all this national anthem mess, I used to love watching baseball. I love everything about baseball. I love the Peanuts. I love the Cracker Jacks. I love going to ball games. I heard the other day they might be putting a major league stadium in that. That would bless me to no end. But nevertheless, years ago there was a story about the Milwaukee Braves, back when they were the Milwaukee Braves before they were the Atlanta Braves. The Milwaukee Braves had a player on there whose name was Henry Aaron. He was the home run leader for years and years and years. Hank Aaron was his name. And they were playing the Yankees one day. The Yankee catcher, his name was Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra was known for that smack talk while people were trying to hit. Hank came up one time And he had that bat drawn back. And Yogi Berra said, "Hank, that ain't how you hold that bat." He said, "Hank, that ain't how you hold that bat." He said, "You got to turn that trademark. The trademark's supposed to be out. Trademark's supposed to be out." He was trying to distract him. He said, "The trademark's supposed to be out. Trademark's supposed to be out." Hank never even blinked. Son, a fastball came down. He caught that fastball. He put it into the left field bleachers. He's rounding the bases. And Hank Aaron got back home, and Yogi Berra was waiting there, and he steps on home plate and said, "I didn't come to read." Beloved, that's the kind of focus you've got to have in these last days. You've got to know what God called you to, and you've got to do it, because the devil's going to be chirping in your ear. He's going to be trying to get you to turn to the left, and he's going to try to get you to turn to the right. I want to step over my life. I want to get down in the glorious city of God. I want to look the devil in the eyeballs at the great white throne judgment as he bows at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look the devil in the eyeball, and I want to say, "Devil, I didn't come down there for this. I didn't come down there for that. I came to preach the gospel. And that's what I intend to do." I want you to be able to look at the devil in the eye and say, "God called me to X, and I'm not going to be distracted."